This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's Chance, Charlie, and GP through with you for the next hour. Up over at Fox Sports Knox on Periscope, that's on Facebook and Twitter, second hour smiles. Then we also have the stream up and running at fanrunradio.com. Click that live link. Hey, and terrestrial radio, AM 1340, FM 105.7. And don't forget the Fan Run Radio app. Download that today, wherever apps are sold for you. Get all 12 hours of your favorite shows here at Fan Run Radio. Hour number two, time jumping to the good stuff. Well, at least some of it was good, some of it was bad. But let's go ahead and get to NFL playoffs. That's right, NFL playoffs started this past weekend. On Saturday, you had two games. Sunday, come back with three. And then the first ever Monday night playoff game last night between the Rams and the Cardinals. I want to start there first. Very much disappointment. Very much disappointment. Here you have divisional foes, teams that battled back and forth throughout the season for that divisional crown in the NFC West, and this game was a snooze fest. And by snooze fest, I actually fell asleep on it because I was so bored. I was just there was nothing happening. Yeah, I fell asleep in probably middle of the third quarter. I mean, it was just all Los Angeles, and you saw Kyler Murray running for his life. That defense just bottled him up. He couldn't do anything. There wasn't a lick of offense from the Cardinals' side. And it just was a boring game. Yeah. I mean, delight for all you Rams fans, but boring for the NFL fan.
Well, I bet the under, and I had to sweat that out. So it kept me tuned in.
So it kept you tuned in, yeah. I didn't make any bets on this game, but glad I didn't, because I likely would have went with a lot of props for Kyler Murray that he did not complete.
The Cardinals were favored in this game too, weren't they?
No, the Rams were minus 2.
No, I think the Rams were the favorite.
I saw this guy's betting system that projected the Cardinals to win.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it'd be a much better game. What'd you guys think about it?
I kind of thought it would be a blowout, or at least close to. And I'm glad it was.
Matt Stafford gets his first playoff win, gets the monkey off the back.
Man, Kyler Murray looks scared in the pocket.
He looked rattled, man.
I don't really have a lot of respect for the Cardinals, honestly. And if you look at Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he just kind of lucked into this job, and I feel like if anything, it's kind of held his roster back at times. And
oh,
I
know he's definitely failed up.
I mean, I know like he did a good job like with some of the route concepts and just, you know, some of the offensive identity he installed to an extent, but clearly, you know, his teams look underprepared. Last night, it didn't make any sense. They failed to establish the run at all.
They didn't even try to run the ball until like the second half.
Like, despite how successful that James Conner has been this year, especially in the back half of the season. And his teams get worse. Like, teams usually get better as years go along. You know, they learn about themselves. They adapt. They grow. He doesn't do that. And his years at Texas Tech, in 2013, they lost 5 out of their last 6. 2014, 4 out of their last 6. 2015, 4 out of their last 6.
He's done it the past 2 years with the Cardinals, too, right?
2016, 6 of their last 8. 2017, 6 of their last 8. 2018, he lost 5 in a row to end the year. Then he gets hired by the Cardinals, where in 2019...
Don't just gloss over the fact that he had Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech,
too. Well, Andy Reid kind of sort of made Patrick Mahomes, too. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he should have. done better with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's a knock that he couldn't bring that out in him, especially at the college level. Because yeah. I mean, what
Patrick
he's doing,
Mahomes might also not be Patrick Mahomes
without
if he
Andy
was
Reed.
Not drafted by
no,
the Chiefs.
Because I totally get
they
what you're
found
saying.
Exactly
too.
What made Patrick Mahomes work, which is surround him with amazing talent, and then and you know intentionally get it to the point where like plays break down because he's you know if you make him sit in the pocket and he doesn't have Tyreek Hill and he doesn't have Travis,
yeah,
Kelce,
he struggled.
Then he might not be the guy that he is now. However. He gets fired upwards, basically. Gets
failed
the Cardinals
upwards,
job. In 2019, they lose 7 of the last 9. In 2020, they lose 5 of the last 7.
And then this
and
year.
And then this year, they lose 5 of their final 6 after starting undefeated and yeah. having a comfortable division lead. At this point.
And if I'm not wrong, in 2020, they had a chance to win the division as well.
They had a chance to make the playoffs. They had they were in a comfortable position for the playoffs before they lost 5 of their last 7. And they still had
Colts.
A chance in week 17 to win the playoff or make it to the playoffs last year. And at this point, yeah, if I am the Cardinals owner / GM, I don't know who what their names are, but those those people, if I am them, I am firing Cliff Kingsbury this morning. Really, I'm firing him last night after the game, but I'm firing him this morning. He's holding that roster back. And you know what? I guess
the owner is Violet Wolfner.
Violet, make the call.
She's the principal owner. Bill Bidwell is partial owner. And then Michael Bidwell.
I mean,
I
the only thing
GM
is that they did not have DeAndre Hopkins. And he, I mean, he managed to make Deshaun Watson look like a top 10 quarterback, top 5 quarterback. He's managed to make quarterbacks prior to Deshaun Watson successful in Houston.
Wait, are you trying to say that Deshaun Watson wasn't a top 5, 10 quarterback? Just
that's
before the whole...
I mean, that's
massage
like,
thing.
I wouldn't pick that aspect of my argument out because that's, you know, we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins and the Cardinals. But, yeah, Deshaun Watson was wildly overrated because of everything that DeAndre Hopkins did for him. Well, I mean, without DeAndre Hopkins, he won as many games as Davis Mills did. So, anyway, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins being absent, like, you can't take that away from how important it was for the Cardinals and for their offense. But at the same time, you know, where's Cliff Kingsbury developing some of these young receivers? They've drafted Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk, Andy Isabella. You know, they brought in some of these young guys, and none of them have really been impactful.
No, they definitely struggled there at the end. I mean, that's an obvious knock to the way he's finished seasons last 2 years. I would say with the DeAndre Hopkins, that just shows that most quarterbacks need some type of, you know, weapon out there
to be successful,
unless you're Aaron Rodgers, who can throw to a plethora of receivers. And, you know, Tom Brady's done it in the past, but, yeah, every quarterback needs a weapon. I think that's just what we're seeing there. And they lost their weapon early, and it showed. It definitely showed. But, yeah, man, it's a disappointing game. I've never been a huge Cliff Kingsbury fan because just like most of you who know, I thought, you know, he failed up to get this job. I don't know what they were thinking when they hired him. Now you can say, well, he's had some success there with Kyler Murray. Him and Kyler Murray will forever be attached because he took him as the number one pick when he comes in to be the coach of the Cardinals. And, yes, they didn't look prepared last night. I don't know how you go into that game not being prepared for the defense that is the Rams. I mean, Aaron Donald up front, and just, I mean, Jalen Ramsey on the outside. Like, these guys
Von Miller.
It's like they didn't account for him in the game plan at all. Like, he's washed up. But, yeah, like, they definitely didn't look like they were meant to be there or they were prepared to be there. GP3, your thoughts?
An aspect of it just being a game, it was really boring. I was disappointed because this is one of the matchups I was most interested in.
I think a lot of people thought it was going to be the best game of the weekend.
I'm disappointed in Kyler Murray. I thought this was an opportunity for him to cement himself as one of the top-tier younger quarterbacks alongside, like, Joe Burrow and maybe Herbert, a couple of those other guys. But, well, he's got a long ways to go, and I think Charlie's right in that. I think Cliff Kingsbury is holding – not just the team back, but Kyler Murray back a lot. And if I were the Cardinals, I'd fire Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, a lot of good names out there for coaching candidates. So
there's also some, I feel like, some truth to the criticism about Kyler Murray's size. I think it actually holds him back. You know, I think there are actually times that he struggles, especially in the red zone, to see. Just to see,
like 5'8".
Like he has problems sometimes, and also last night, you know, I felt like he was trying to do too much through the air. First of all, they didn't establish the run with Connor or Edmonds or any of that. But then there were a lot of times where Kyler Murray left the pocket. And, you know, maybe there was a spy that I could not see off screen because of just the zoom in of the line of scrimmage. And if there was, then that makes a lot more sense. But there were just a lot of times that it looked like Kyler Murray rolled out and then he had room to be able to pick up 4, 5, you know, 6 yards. And instead of picking up that yardage, he stood there for another 4 or 5 seconds waiting for somebody to break open and then either tried to force a throw or eventually the pressure came. And there were times that, you know, that is one of his greater weapons that he could have used it. I feel like down the stretch, he ran a lot less.
Yeah, I felt like that, you know, in the regular season, they were trying to limit him when he was, you know, banged up with injuries, like don't run as much. But I really thought he was going to leave it all on the field last night and that we would get one of those amazing Kyler Murray games where he would run
like
for –
like what he had against the Titans week one, where like, he just ran all over.
Yeah, like he'd run for 60, 70 yards, and then he'd get – I mean, he was averaging – on the Rams this season, I know they popped up a graph for the game. It was 300 yards he had in the last game, I guess, through the air against the Rams, what it said, 325 yards. But like what Charlie's saying, there were moments where I thought, hey, he should run that. It looks like, well, is he scared because of injury? Is he scared because that's the way he's, you know, kind of been held back, like don't run as much? But like, this is a playoff game, man. This is win or go home, so like leave it all out there. It was a very underwhelming performance by Kyler Murray. It definitely was. And then to talk about the Rams did – they played everything. I mean, their defense was great. Stafford was very good, and he gets his first playoff win. What do you guys think about the Rams now? Does it, like, put any more confidence as far as how lethal they could be the rest of the way? They're going to play Tom Brady and the Bucks now.
That's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I think of anything, you know – Matt Stafford, I think the Manning cast mentioned it last night, but picking up that first playoff win has got to be pretty freeing. And I think that, you know, that opens up a lot for him. It provides him a certain level of confidence where this team's now, I think, going to play even better. And I picked the Rams to make the Super Bowl before the year. I picked them to make the Super Bowl before the playoffs, and I still feel pretty good that they're going to end up in the Super Bowl.
You picked them to play the Titans. I went back and listened to all of our picks. I don't think I forgot it on my table, but you picked them to beat the Titans, or not to beat the Titans, but to play the Titans and the Titans to win. You picked the Rams to win. I picked the Packers to lose to the Rams, I believe is how it went. Only thing that was really damning about our picks, too, when I went back and listened to the podcast, obviously you guys' Falcons pick. You both had them.
I had them as a wild card.
A wild card. You had them went to the division.
Which they were still alive in week 17.
Charlie had the Jets as a wild card pick.
Oh, I had them one out of the wild card.
I thought I might have to go back and look at my paper, but I thought you had them at 9-8.
Yeah, I did have them.
I do know that. 9-8 is what you had them as. And we all picked the Browns. Like, yeah. Across the board. You guys picked the Browns to win the division. I picked them to be a wild card, so we missed on that one.
9-8.
Out of a 9-8 and finishing 8th in the AFC. I also had the Patriots at 5-12. So,
and Washington football team, you had them
at 10-7, winning the division.
Winning the Cowboys division.
In second place at 6-11.
And we both said there's no way we could pick against the Cowboys. Yeah. The division was just awful. But looking at the Rams, I thought about that as we were talking. The Rams too. I mean, I think that Cam Akers coming back last week and they got him for the game tonight. That's going to be huge. Sonny Michel and Cam Akers looked good out there together, splitting carries. I thought. Akers looked like he had a little bit of his explosiveness back. And then Sonny Michel kind of surprised me with that big 35-yard run. I know he still had that in the tank, but they looked pretty good on the ground. I thought the Cardinals, although lackluster game and, you know, they lose the game, they did a damn good job of containing Cooper Kupp, in my opinion. He gets a touchdown still, but they were double-teaming him pretty much the entirety of the game, and they held him where a lot of teams haven't been able to check him.
He did look pretty flustered during the game. He had that one really bad drop where he was wide open, ball just went right through his hands. But no matter how good you cover Cooper Kupp, he's still going to find the end zone.
Yeah,
just
he did. He found the end zone, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 61 yards, 12.2 average. He does find the end zone. Odell Beckham. I think that's huge for them. Him coming along, he's finding the end zone. He even threw a touchdown pass, right?
No, he threw one like 40 yards. Didn't go for a touchdown.
I was watching the highlight. That must have been when I fell asleep after that one. But
it was a hell of a throw. I mean, it was on the
great,
money.
Great throw?
Yeah, really good throw.
On the money. So, yeah, man, they got some weapons, man. Van Jefferson's been pretty solid for them. When other guys haven't been able to step up, Tyler Higbee, he continues to turn it out. But, I mean, the Rams, I don't think that – I think they're that much better just because of last night because the Cardinals look so bad. But, yeah, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You guys are right.
Hey, with the Rams beating the Cardinals, that means the Titans now against the other seven teams that are not the Titans are undefeated. 4-0.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the only only team left that has not lost a game to another team left.
It's all lining up for the Titans. Everything's lining up.
We lost to three teams that already got eliminated, though.
Yeah.
I know. I just think it's funny.
The like counterpart.
We beat the good teams and lose to
We don't beat bad teams. We don't have time for that. We're worried about beating the good ones.
You got time to get up for the big games.
By the way, you're the Titans. Just saying, number 22.
Returning on?
Gonna return on.
The 22nd?
Chance to 22nd, yeah. Which is also the 22nd year of the 2020, whatever we're in.
Yeah.
2022.
Which is also 22 years
from the miracle.
Since their last Super Bowl appearance and the miracle.
The Music City Miracle, yep.
Yeah.
Everything's lined up if you believe in numbers.
The stars are aligning. All the 22s coming together. Also, A.J. Brown, 1+1, oh, you know, that's a 2. Julio Jones, that's the other 2. Oh, you got another 22
there
in there.
There we go.
Got
everything's lining up for the Titans.
You know.
Hey, more football to get to. We'll take a quick timeout, come back on the other side, talk about the rest of the games. I want to get you guys' opinion, too.
Steve McNair, number 9, passed away 13 years ago. 13+9, what's that chance? 22.
Is this from Brian Anza on Twitter? Because he puts all his numbers. I want to know if you guys have a gripe, though, that the Titans don't get a Sunday night primetime game. Or even just a Sunday game in general. Put them on Saturday. We'll talk about that on the other side and more. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Bottles, granddaddy had the golden flats. Backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels. Some people want to kill their sorrow. Some people want to fit in with the popular. That was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow soon that I'm going to get up. Filling up my cup, I see the crowd move, changing by the minute. Chestnut checkers, that's what Charlie says.
I'm getting whooped.
Charlie's never played checkers before in his life, people.
Add this to the list of weird crap.
Well, no, I'm playing checkers currently on iMessage games for the first time in
number
my entire
one
life.
I used to think number one was that you'd never seen a Disney movie. I think that's
I've seen like one.
Maybe. I think that's two behind checkers now.
Never playing checkers before.
Not
in
even at
life.
The Cracker Barrel. Not
really,
even
I
always played at
the
Cracker
Barrel either.
Never really.
No, I never went. Like I've been obviously. Like I've not gone to Cracker Barrel before. But generally, if I was going to go somewhere and of that style, it would be like a Waffle House.
Yeah, but like Cracker Barrel's like good for right before a road trip or something like it's a staple for.
Yeah, it's like actually
that's
early.
That's Waffle House to me.
It's actually early morning breakfast, not late night drunk.
Yeah,
breakfast.
Don't get me wrong. I love Waffle House, but it's more late night.
It's like 3 a.m, 4 a.m. I'm getting some Waffle House. I ain't just going to the Waffle House at 11 a.m. like I go to the Cracker Barrel.
Underrated is Denny's.
Denny's is very underrated. All right, Sunday's games, we're going backwards. Steelers Chiefs, no surprise there.
Yawn.
Hey, shout out to Big Ben for not being the worst quarterback of Super Wild Card Weekend. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, I guess it was Kyler Murray, right?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdowns, flawless victory, like in Mortal Kombat. 30 of 39, 404 yards. They just didn't have a shot. And it was early on that you knew that, yeah, the Steelers' run of luck or this last hurrah for Big Ben, it wasn't going to matter because they were just overmatched. Chiefs looked scary that game.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have to play them next.
But then also, I mean, I guess we have to consider they were playing the Steelers. Don't have a lot of weapons.
Yeah,
who have
exactly.
a quarterback like, quarterback on his last leg, literally.
The Chiefs' defense has been struggling a little bit still. I mean, the Steelers scored 14 points. That's like a normal team scoring 30.
Yep.
Which I know they scored 21, but 14 on offense. And,
yeah.
You know, this doesn't really change my perception of the Chiefs. They are what they are. They're a good team. They
scary.
Have flaws. They can be beat. They're that exact same team that's going to play the Bills. And whoever wins that game is going to be exceptionally hot heading into the AFC Championship game. But, you know, it's just two good hot teams.
I have a hard time believing that whoever wins that game doesn't make it to the Super Bowl.
I mean, they're both teams that have lost.
People said that about Tennessee and Kentucky in the SEC tournament a couple years ago. Whoever won was going to win the SEC. Never know. Maybe this game will just take it all out of them, and because it's going to be a slugfest.
Oh, yeah, that Bills game is going to be a slugfest.
The Chiefs are 0-2 against the Titans and Bengals, and the Bills are 0-1 against the Titans and Bengals.
Yeah. I understand. Those two tough teams on Sunday night's game this coming week. That's going to be tough. But, yeah, Chiefs handled that one easily. Not a lot to talk about there. Patrick Mahomes controlled the game. 5-touchdown performance. Tears apart the Steelers' defense. And then the game prior to that one was the game for the ages. 49ers and the Cowboys. A lot to unpack here.
How about them Cowboys?
First of all, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys, baby?
Second of all, fat Jason Garrett strikes again. Mike McCarthy is not a good coach. Packers fans have been telling you that for years. He had Aaron Rodgers. And he should have had more Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers in his what would be considered his prime. Still think he's still in his prime, but yeah. Dak, Mike McCarthy. Where's the run game in this game? There's so many things to look at here.
I would like to imagine that Draven Fine's listening.
He probably
I would
is.
Like to throw him a little I told you so.
You did.
We told you.
Well, if he was listening, he's not listening anymore.
We told you the Cowboys were frauds. We told you that fat Jason Garrett couldn't deliver, that this Cowboys team could not deliver.
He would eventually get in his own way.
And that they were going to lose in the first round, just like the Cowboys do. And what did they do? They lost in the first round. 49ers money line, that's the easiest bet that's ever been placed in the history.
And the Cowboys, as much as I don't want to say, the Cowboys had – they had a lot of talent this year. They had all the talents when you compare them to the 49ers. But the Cowboys going to Cowboy, and they got in their own way. Let's talk about this. All right. So this game, I thought the 49ers looked pretty damn good on the ground and through the air. Debo Samuel. Everything that he's doing in the NFL, how could they not get that out of him at South Carolina? Like, wow, just get the man the ball in his hands. I'm serious. Like, you know what we've seen from Debo Samuel, what Kyle Shanahan's done, what Arthur Smith did with Cordero Patterson in Atlanta. Like, you just got to – guys like these, you just got to give them the ball. These playmakers, just get them the ball in space. No matter how you get them, if they're a wide receiver, put them in the backfield. Get them the ball somehow. And that's what we're seeing from Debo Samuel and the 49ers. And when I was watching that game, I was just like, where was this whenever he was at South Carolina? Why could their coach – I guess it was Will. It was Will Muschamp. Will Muschamp did not utilize him.
I think it was Spurrier and Muschamp. I think he might have been there for both.
Was he there?
His freshman year, he only played in 5 games.
Hey, I know he got hurt
and
one year.
He got hurt his junior year. His senior year, he did have 11 touchdowns and nearly 1,000 yards.
And he was good.
And
he
his healthy sophomore year, he had another 7 touchdowns and nearly 1,000 yards. So he was pretty solid. I had him as, I think, maybe like top 1 or 2 receivers in that draft class. So,
yeah, he redshirted as a true freshman in 2014. That might have been Steve Spurrier.
That was definitely Spurrier.
Was it?
I think that might have been his last.
That was not Spurrier, was it?
That was his last year, I'm pretty sure.
I guess Spurrier lasted longer than I remember.
Spurrier, I think, was there until 2015.
I'm looking it up right now. But, yeah, besides that.
Because Muschamp was at Florida.
You are correct. GP3. He was there until 2015 when he coached the 8 games and then said, I'm done with the rest of the season.
After he lost to Butch Jones. He knew, like, if I can't beat Butch Jones anymore, I got it.
So Debo, 3 of his 4 years were with Will Muschamp.
Mm-hmm. But it's just like, just looking back, I was just watching. I was like, he was not this. He was good at South Carolina, but he wasn't this explosive. What did you guys think about the game? We'll talk about the play that cost them the game, the draw play where they couldn't even get a snap off. But there was so many. There was the fake punt where they converted the fake punt, and they kept the punt team out there.
And then they ended up getting the delay game because they waited like 20 seconds.
Because they waited 15 seconds while the special teams coordinator is holding everybody back. Then let's run them out there now. There's so much to unpack here. Charlie, you go first.
It shouldn't have been in a situation for the Cowboys to embarrass themselves.
They should have won this game by 14.
Game in the first place. If they wouldn't have said, they were moving the ball successfully early, and then what do you know? Another playoff game where the 49ers stall out under Kyle Shanahan. Another playoff game where Kyle Shanahan almost chokes. Surprising. And it was Dan Quinn this time that saved him with some pretty solid defense especially down the stretch. But the 49ers could have put that game away early. They kept having to settle for field goals. Then you just have the incredibly unnecessary interception. You know, you have Debo coming up. My big toe short, basically, of getting the game-winning first down. So that game really shouldn't have been put in that situation.
Was there really a false start on the fourth down play? Because when they showed the replay, they only showed it once. I didn't see anybody move.
I didn't
move.
See it either. They said that Trent Williams moved. I did not see it. However, I don't have a problem with the draw play. I just have a problem with the execution. I actually think it was not a bad idea because you do have the time. That's something that you practice.
Well,
you
he
should have
went
for.
Down earlier, and he said that too.
Yeah. I mean, the play call itself was not the issue. For me, you know, you get 10 yards closer. You get to spike, and then you have one chance from the roughly 35 to score a touchdown. But Dak has to slide a second or two earlier, and then Dak has to give that to the official. You don't give it to your center.
No,
you don't put
it
on the ground. It has to touch the official's hands.
I mean, I think it was
that just slows
a
it
dumb
down.
Play call because so much can go wrong in that instance. If one of the 49er defenders lollygags on top of Dak for 2 seconds, I mean, it's over.
Well, then it might be a delay game.
No,
because,
I mean,
they
allowed defenders a good 2 to 3 seconds
like,
to get up.
The Titans got a delay game.
Well, that was obvious.
For laying on a
I mean, that was pretty
player in 2 minute drill.
That was blatant, though. And you're dinking and dunking all the way down the field already, getting easy completions to the sideline. Just pick up 10 yards through the air again. And if it's not there, throw it away. You got another shot to pick up 10 yards before you got to take a 35-yard shot at the end zone. It was a dumb play call. And, yeah, it might have worked if he'd have gone down 2 seconds earlier. But in the end, it's dumb to call a draw with 14 seconds left when you have no timeouts.
Yeah, that's more of the issue for me. I'll agree with you. If Dak goes down earlier, yes, he might have 2 seconds left on the clock for the 35-yard Hail Mary. But at the same time, I got to agree with GP3. Like, most coaches ain't going to call this design draw play there at the end unless you know you got a guy that maybe can get the yards and get out of bounds too. Like, there was no way he was getting out of bounds on that call. Or if you had a timeout left, then maybe it's an okay call.
Or even if, like, they're covering the sidelines and nothing's there, throw it over the middle. It's still – you're going to be able to reset faster than if you were to run a draw if you throw it over the middle to an open receiver.
Just a lot of bad play calling there from Mike McCarthy. I didn't think that they utilized their run game. I don't know. I know Zeke hasn't looked great, but you also got Tony Pollard back there, and I didn't think they went to the run game nearly enough. I think that the Cowboys have a lot of weapons, and if I were a Cowboys fan, this would be a very disappointing season because I think you, on paper, you're better than the San Francisco team. And although we all picked San Francisco to win going into this game because we felt just like the Cowboys are going to Cowboy, and the 49ers would be able to run the ball, and they did. 38 carries for 169 yards, and that's between Elijah Mitchell and Debo Samuel. Then they also did great things through the passing game too. Jimmy G, he wasn't great, but he was solid enough to win a playoff game.
He almost cost him with that interception.
He did. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't great, but he was solid enough to win a game. Well, no touchdowns for him.
Apparently, he suffered a shoulder sprain too.
Yeah,
and was
I saw
playing
that.
Through and is now questionable for next weekend.
Was it his left shoulder?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I saw that pop up on ESPN too. Now he's nursing an injury.
Great. Rodgers gets another gift.
Otherwise, but it's another sad, disappointing season for the Dallas Cowboys, who finished the season at 12-5, 5-3 at home, and just couldn't get it done, man.
At least they won the division. Something to hang their hats on.
The NFC least. All right, take a quick timeout. We'll come back on the other side, talk about the rest of the games, end it right there with some Cowboy talk. And I guess I'll ask you guys this, too. If you're Jerry Jones, you got Dan Quinn. He's likely going to get a job. Kellen Moore is being interviewed. Do you go ahead and pull the plug on fat Jason Garrett and just hire Dan Quinn as your head football coach? Think about that on the other side. You'll never find my love. Buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole field. I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo. Welcome back to the Blitz. Talking a little NFL playoffs. Before we move along, though, I need to let you know our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. Hour number two brought to you by them. Each win means that much more in the NFL playoffs. That's why FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional playoffs. That's right. You bet $5, win $150, and any team to win any divisional playoff game. Man, this weekend, I like the Chiefs. I like the Pack, obviously. I like you guys' Titans, too. And then, let's see, what's our fourth game? The Rams. I like the Rams against the Bucks. I think Tom Brady, his luck runs out this year. I just don't think he has enough weapons to beat that talented Rams offense. But pick who you like this weekend. Just remember to sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. Safe and secure with the best in-class customer service. When you win, they pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. FanDuel does not make you wait. It's a simple and easy-to-use app with generous promotions every day. And if you already have the FanDuel Sportsbook, well, FanDuel is also going to hook up all customers, existing customers, with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will also get $50, too, so you both will win. Don't miss your chance to win $150 off a $5 bet this weekend, though, when you use promo code BLITZ when you sign up. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code BLITZ and pick your divisional playoff team before kickoff. You must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit is required. Must wager and designate offer mark and max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users for field and site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. All right, next up, since we're traveling backwards, the Eagles and the Bucks game. This is another disappointing game for me. I really thought that Jalen Hurts might have some type of breakout playoff performance and put the team on his back, but they were just overmatched too as well. Couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, I mean, it demonstrates the limitations that Jalen Hurts has. As hard of a worker as he is, as good of a leader as he is, as easy of a person as he is to root for, he's never going to be a skilled passer. He's going to be a mediocre passer at best that can succeed, with his legs within the right system, similar to a Lamar Jackson, basically. Another mediocre passer that has great feet, hard worker, good leader, easy to root for. That was just the worst possible matchup for the Eagles. It was everything that they do well is what the Buccaneers were best at taking away.
Yeah, that's very true. And I'd say, yeah, maybe he'll never be a skill passer, but like he can be mediocre and they can win playoff games if they surround him with the right weapons and the right defense.
Yeah, like, that's what I said, just like Lamar Jackson. Like, he's a limited passer that within the right system can operate well and is really good with his legs and really good as an athlete and a very good leader.
They just got to give him the right guys around him.
I don't know if his ceiling is winning. You know, ceiling is probably winning in the first round, and that's it. You know, I don't think your ceiling is really even reaching in an NFC Championship game with Jalen Hurts. But, you know, maybe they'll probably give it another go next year. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they opened up the competition and gave Gardner Minshew a shot at it. And obviously they're going to go after Deshaun Watson if he becomes available.
Could you see them making a run at Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they would kick the tires just because they can't feel overly inspired about Jalen Hurts.
Quarterback, if I was one of the top quarterbacks out there right now, I would love to go to the NFC East.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not going to want to go to the Saints as long as Brady's in there. Like, I mean, as much as we would like it to see Aaron Rodgers and Brady.
A lot of people keep bringing up this Rodgers to the Steelers, which I don't see either. That's only going to be tougher. I mean, Rodgers' best bet, since we're on this right now, is either to, like you said, go to like the NFC East or stay in his own division. He's going to win that division every year until
he's
the day he retires.
Stay in Green Bay, there's all
maybe
this, that and whatever else. No. He's not leaving Green Bay.
I tend to think that he does stay, but like if we're talking about longevity for a quarterback, he's what, 36, 37 now. If he wants to continue winning division titles and have an easy path to the Super
maybe
Bowl,
maybe he pulls a Favre and goes to Minnesota because they got a talented roster around him.
Yeah. Just
Kirk Cousins.
But is it more talented than Green Bay's roster? I don't think so.
But like, if he just wants out of Green Bay.
Yeah, if he just wants out, yeah, you're right. You're right there. But like if it's not as talented as Green Bay's.
Because you're not
roster.
Going to Chicago.
But Jalen Hurts couldn't get it done. Tom Brady does. Two touchdowns on the day for him. Keyshawn Vaughn. They got a score from him and Giovanni Bernard. Those were your first two scores for the Bucks. And then it was the Mike Evans and Gronk. You know, Gronk in the playoffs. He finds a way to find the end zone, but Mike Evans, 9 catches, 117 yards, even without, you know, obviously don't have Chris Godwin. He's done for the rest of the year, and then everything that happened with Antonio Brown. Although they beat up on the Eagles, much tougher game approaching them with the Rams. Eagles, by far, not as good as the Rams. Like, not even close. This is going to be a
Eagles,
tough
one. The Eagles, what, didn't beat a team with a winning record all year?
Yeah. It's going to be a tough one for Tom Brady and the Bucs. And then we'll fast forward to the game on Saturday. And on Saturday, this is where we had some fun matchups. Raiders-Bengals, that came down to pretty much the end. And then the Bills-Patriots, and I say fun there, but it was just the Bills who controlled that game. And sometimes that's fun to see. Fun to see Bill Belichick really struggle.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, you guys think about the Bills? Here's a team that, you know, throughout probably the first 6 weeks, 7 weeks, everybody's like, you know, really good. Josh Allen's coming together. They can probably get to the Super Bowl. And they just handle a Patriots team, but a Patriots team that we all would probably argue not that great as.
Yeah, we got to a point halfway through the season where, you know, everyone's got to pick their darlings, and especially with the Titans as the one seed, well, they can't be anyone's darling, so we got to find other teams like the Colts and like the Patriots. And
they'd won like, what, five
and,
straight?
Yeah, I mean, they had won five straight, and they beat the Bills, they beat the Titans, but, you know, they beat the Titans practice squad, and they beat the Bills thanks to, you know, Monsoon.
They were playing on borrowed time, you know, whatever house you money, call it, playing on borrowed time.
At the end of the day, you know, all the DVOA nerds, which, by the way, the DVOA nerds now on Twitter are up there with Baseball Hall of Fame voters Twitter.
You hate them?
As the two worst segments of people on Twitter.
You hate them.
It's just for people that aren't smart enough about the game of football to be able to make their own conclusions about what they're seeing with their own eyes, and they can just only rely on numbers. Just a miserable group of people. But
the analytics.
All those DVOA nerds wanted to, you know, oh, the Patriots, Bill Belichick's best coaching job yet. You know, they might be the best team in the AFC. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Who they really beat this year? Yeah, they had some decent wins, but you know, nothing they did was overly impressive. Mac Jones operated the offense, and you know, I guess that was somewhat impressive, but he never had to go win a game. You know, he never really got put in overly adverse situations.
He never did get put in a position where he had to go win the game.
Their biggest win of the year, he threw the ball three times. Their second biggest win of the year, his defense forced two fumbles in the red zone, and you know, he played decent, but the run game really took care of things.
Good job by Charlie there. Good job by Charlie. Way to break it down. Josh Allen was 21-25. He had another remarkable performance a la Patrick Mahomes, the way he played in his game. And they looked tough, man.
What was it? They completed the NFL's first ever perfect game where they scored a touchdown on every drive that didn't result in a kneel down to run out the clock.
Dable, whatever, however you pronounce his last name.
Former
gotta
Alabama
be
OC.
Well, got to be him and Mike McDaniels.
He's got to get a job, right?
Him and Mike McDaniels, the run game coordinator for the 49ers, have got to be the two best candidates on the market in my eyes. And I think Dable and Miami would work very well.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good pick.
And he's now, I think, the favorite to land that job.
I just think it's time for him.
Per betting markets.
It's time for him to get a job. All right, on the other side, we'll just do it real quick. Las Vegas and Cincinnati, because we got to pick the Tennessee game on the way out here. That was a solid game. I kind of hated it for Derek Carr. I don't know why. I'm a big Derek Carr fan.
Me too, dude.
I really don't know why. Like, I feel sad when he loses.
Day.
I don't know why. I feel bad for the guy when he loses, because it seems like he's such a genuine person and he really cares about his teammates and just has fun. So when he loses, I actually do really feel sad for Derek Carr.
I do too.
Not for the Raiders, but I felt sad for Derek
Carr.
And
they really want to keep
Rick Bisacci.
Bisacci.
Got it right.
Bisacci Medusa. They really want to keep him, though. The Raiders players do. Derek Carr said after the game,
I think he'll
get
that
job. Him to be the head coach, and Derek Carr wants to be back, and the team wants to play for him. So they'll probably mess it up because now they fired Mike Mayock. They're getting a new GM in there, and he'll probably want to do his own thing. However, you know, props to the Raiders for what they did this year. They gave us a pretty fun game.
Yeah, it came down to the wire, you know, then the final drive trying to score to take it into overtime, like a lot of their games have this season. That's one thing about the Raiders. They were the cardiac team of the NFL. Really, if you're a Raiders fan, I'm sure your heart is definitely going to be healed after this weekend.
You got to be somewhat relieved that the season's over if you're a Raiders fan.
Yes, I'm saying,
too.
Like, they put you through a lot of tough games, man, close games where they just lose by – you know, single digits. So
they did give us one of the best games, if not the best game of the regular season against the Chargers.
Yeah, definitely. And they gave us one of the better games in the opening weekend of the NFL playoffs as well. But sorry to see you go, Las Vegas. Hey, on the other side, we will wrap up the show. Talk Sports is in the building. They'll have you covered next. So keep it locked here. One more segment from the Blitz.
Smokey leading our boys out through the tee. Makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up.
the gift that keeps on giving, the Vol for Life song. I don't know who it is.
Is it anybody? The guy named Connor.
Is he even popular?
It's Matt Stillwell.
Matt Stillwell.
Yeah.
He's got to be from East Tennessee.
I want to hear this whole song.
No, we talked about
this. Yeah, he's not from even.
He's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Is he at least from like West?
Yeah, I think he's from the mountains. I think. Did he go to App State or?
I hate this song. I'm sorry.
I'm a ball for life.
I hate it.
Y'all.
I'm not going to lie. And I hate it in a sense that it makes me laugh because I feel like it's so damn dumb. But just, I'm a ball for life.
Y'all.
When did that start? That was a Butch thing, wasn't it?
No, Ball for Life.
Well, I know they had the program and stuff, but I felt like it came on more like it's fans saying it and everybody saying Ball for Life.
I feel like I've heard Ball for Life my whole life.
I don't feel like I have. I'm have to say, I guess I missed it.
What, you got 10 years on me?
Yeah. No, I got more than that. What are you, 24, 23?
22.
22, I have 15 years on you.
I was being polite, Chance.
Oh, I don't care. I'm getting closer to 40. It happens. All right, we talked about all the playoffs. Obviously, we'll be talking about that all week. Now it's time to give a score and a prediction for tonight's game in Nashville as the Tennessee Basketball Vols head to Memorial Gym, that's what it is, right? Yeah, Memorial Gym to play Vandy.
You got to watch out for that Memorial Magic.
I know. The old
Memorial
ledge.
Auditorium, I feel like, would have been a better, like.
Who you got tonight, GP?
Tennessee. Tennessee's going to win this game. They better win this game. They should win this game. I don't know what the line is, but
it's 6.5.
Okay, then I got Tennessee covering because I got us winning by 11. I'll put it at 72-61.
Oh. You almost have my exact score.
Really?
Yeah.
72-61. Charlie, what you got?
I got 69-61. I don't think it's pretty, but I think it's enough to get the job done.
I thought about going 69, but I was like, yeah, that's a little immature. So.
Well, I think they barely cover. They barely cover, but they get it done. It's not a pretty win.
Up there.
It's not a pretty win either, but it gets you back on track. We're going to have someone that has underperformed this year randomly give us a big game tonight.
I think it's going to be Hatfield because Rick Barnes said that.
Is he going to play more?
Rick Barnes said in the post-game presser after Kentucky that Brandon Huntley Hatfield's earned more playing time.
Yeah,
let's go, baby. Maybe we'll get that X factor just in time.
According to our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Tennessee does come in as a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under is set at 135 for tonight's matchup. I am going to take Tennessee as well. I think they do go under, though. I
think my score has them under, too.
I will say 68-60 Vols.
We're all in the same range.
Yeah.
I see them scoring
a lot of points, and I see them keeping it close, man. It hasn't been too many games this year outside of those first, like, Division II opponents that Tennessee has really outplayed their counterpart. They normally play down to their opponent, and they've been doing that for years.
Rick Barnes is playing that Uno reverse card that none of us – are even prepared for right now.
Who knows?
Always teams getting hot at the start of the year, fading at the end of the year, going to March, kind of stagnant. Hey, this year, we're doing it the opposite way. We're going to get Huntley Hatfield involved tonight. We're going to get hot going down the back half of the year. We're going to be all right.
All right, on the way out, before we send you off to
not gonna happen.
Send you to talk sports from noon until 3, we got National Calendar Days. Today's a state day, so be thinking about that. It's National Thesaurus Day. Can you think of the last time you used a thesaurus?
Like, I go to thesaurus.com a lot.
Really, do you? Okay.
Yeah, back when I used to write a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I like thesauruses.
Yeah, when I was writing different blog articles, I'd use it a lot. But it's just like, remember, it used to be a staple.
Like, I don't own a thesaurus. I just go to the website.
You don't own a thesaurus?
I used to. That used to be a staple of school
it's
supplies.
It's got to be right there.
It was like school supplies.
Your AP,
thesaurus.
Your AP style book and your thesaurus.
It's also National Pekin Duck Day. You guys like pecan duck?
Peking duck?
Yeah.
Or it sounded like you said pecan duck, like a pecan.
Peking,
yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's good.
Yeah, I trust you. All right.
It's what they eat in the Christmas store.
They ate a couscous.
Oh.
No, they ate
the
duck. The goose with the head, and she chopped the head off.
Yeah. Dude, they said, the head, and then she chopped off.
Yeah,
it's
Scrooge.
Also.
It's smiling at
didn't
me.
Scrooge
it's
have
also
the couscous?
It's also National Winnie the Pooh Day. Loved Winnie the Pooh. State Day.
Oklahoma.
Arkansas. No, it's already been Arkansas. Give me Mississippi.
It's National
God's Country.
Michigan Day. Michigan Day going up north. Hey, that'll do it for us. For Charlie, for GP3, I'm Chance. Next up is Talk Sports. Keep it locked here for more Fan Run Radio.